This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 11 o'clock agendized item, and it will be for fiscal year 2026 budget workshop number 3 for the Canyon County Ambulance District. So I will cleverly close the Canyon County Board of Commissioners meeting and reopen as the Canyon County Ambulance District Commissioners. So with that, I have opened the meeting and called to order. Roll call is myself, Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. And approval of board meeting agenda notice postings. Have we posted and met all the legal requirements for 48 hours? Okay.
Chairman, I move that we accept the agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, that brings us to new business. Discuss and approve Division Chief of Training job description.
So, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, this was a job description that Director Danner and I were working on, and unfortunately we don't have it ready.
Okay.
Part of the reason is she's trying to convert our job descriptions over to be like the county, so they're so much easier for the board to look at, and when we need something worked on, she doesn't have to look at like, why do you have this in here? So we just didn't quite get it. We will have it soon.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that'd be great to get similar formats. Yeah.
It'd be good for the board to be able to look at the same thing.
Super.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll see that some point in the future. Does anybody else have any questions on that agenda item?
I do not, Chairman.
Okay. Being that there's not, let's go to agenda item 2, Ambulance District Fiscal Year 2026 Preliminary Budget Workshop number 3.
So, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, this is, as you said, the third workshop for us. We do have another meeting on Monday to do the final for publication, but this meeting will be the first meeting that we've actually talked about a budget. You know, Director Danner and I have been working weekly on the compensation plan, and so we finally have numbers in the A budget. So we'll just go clear through the whole budget again. We don't need to hit every line item, but I think this should be a good just to go from top to bottom.
Okay.
So on income for ambulance fees, we kept that flat from fiscal 25 to fiscal 26. I think we're going to go over this year. We'll make more, but I think I'd rather keep it flat because we were not 100% sure on our transfers, the funding that, you know, the revenue that we're going to lose because we're not doing some of the transfers at night. So rather than make that go up, I think I'd rather just be safe, keep it flat. And you'll see as we go through the budget, keeping it flat is fine. We have the levy funds that, you know, we don't have to have that go up to balance our budget this year. So we're going to keep it flat. We will know by next year. What did that actually look like with the transfers? How many did we give up? You know, did it come under? Did it go over? But I think it's made close enough to keep it flat. So any questions about that part? Pretty simple.
Would it go up very much if it does?
It's just so hard to, I don't know. It's just hard to tell. Part of what will change is, say currently, we're losing some of the revenue from transfers because we're not fully staffed for the day. So we're having to turn down even more. So it's one of those, well, next year, if we're fully staffed and not losing staff and shutting down units, well, it probably would go up because hopefully we're not turning down some of the revenue. So that's one of those. And it's such an unknown. It's easier to just say, let's keep it even. And we will know for next year what it looks like.
Okay.
We're hoping it goes up because we won't have to be. We're hoping to be fully staffed and consistently and not have the shutting down Middleton, shutting down Nampa.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Are we able to charge on the transports what it actually cost us to provide the service for transport?
So, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, it's one of those, you know, you pay the Medicare allowable. Like it's just.
Oh, it's still under the same thing.
It's just still that. Yeah, that's what everybody.
All right.
Falls under. So, yeah, the ones from South Nampa to Garrity, that's such a quick round trip. That doesn't cost as much. But like say, if you're going from West Valley to the VA or something, well, then your margins get tighter. But yeah, so but we do have to do the Medicare allowable. Excuse me, pretty standard. Excuse me. So moving into revenue, the only thing that has changed since the last two times that we met is, you know, we talked about that GMT money, that Medicaid money, that we're actually filling out the forms right now. They're due this week. We'll have all that into them to the consultant. We did add that into the budget because it's supposed to come in. We don't have to have it. We're not counting on it to balance our budget. But we did put in there, and so for this fiscal year, it's about $1.3 million if we're going off what the consultant, the averages that they're looking at. So we put it in there. But like I said, we're not counting on the revenue to to operate. So kind of like a grant that might be coming. So that is different from the last time you would have seen this budget. Other than that, I think the income is pretty much the same. Because we've gone over what the levy, that line 29, what the levy did for this year, went up by $8.1 million. Any questions on the revenue?
Do we have any consultant or contractor that does any grant writing for us?
Mr. Chair, no, we do not. We've had people help in the past. We've done some of our own grant writing. It's very difficult, as you would know, it's just time consuming, but we've never actually had somebody consult to do it.
Okay.
I don't know what that would cost. I know people do it,
right,
but I just don't know what it would do.
Okay.
We now have the funds. I say with the levy override, we probably should look into it because it could make a difference. There's a lot of grants out there that nobody ever applies for. So EMS does not have as many grants as fire service does, but I know there are grants out there we could probably go after. So, good.
I personally, you're going to be cash solvent for 2 years. I think that now's the time you had to have a little bit extra money to hire a grant writer.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose much, and you know, you can pick and choose which one you're going to try to go after. Mm-hmm. But my personal recommendation, having received grants before, is that very difficult to do during very tight times, during times that you're a little bit more funded, it would be something to consider.
Mr. Chairman, I think from my experience on nonprofits having a grant writer, I want to say it's around, they typically charge about 7% of the overall award.
Okay. I wouldn't have known that.
So
I think I would say that you could use that as a guide, as a formalization. Some of the public grants, they can't directly charge a percentage on the grant on some of the public money.
Gotcha.
Or the formula that they do it. But I think that the 7% is a good ballpark.
I can inquire with who I know we've used in the past,
yeah,
as a nonprofit to see what they, if that individual has ever done a government entity grant and what that would cost.
I mean, some of the time it's very, you can pick up the new replacement equipment that we wouldn't have to budget for, that we could set aside, and all kinds of stuff that it would be, I would recommend that we think about that, put in some kind of.
That's a great idea, and we will put that on our notes for something to look into.
Because you can put it in and you can put it out. I mean, you can income it, outcome it, and it zeroes out.
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
And then it's, you know, you bring it to the board and say, do we want to do this? And if you get the money in, then you can choose to spend it.
Exactly. No, great idea.
Okay.
I agree. Just not something we've done. So then if you'd like to, we can move down into the A budget. This is the part of the budget we have not looked at up until today, just because, you know, Director Dan and I have been working on that comp plan and what that does. On Monday, we will bring the comp plan with the individual wages, and we can go over that in executive session, obviously, with the personnel. But obviously, my wage as the department head is on here. And so my wage went up $15,000 for this year. You will see on Monday that why that is that way as it relates to the rest of the staff and the new comp plan. Director Danner, the way we came up with this wage is we looked at Ada County paramedics. I have the wages for all the other chiefs in the valley, police and fire. And Ada is the easiest to compare to just because they're a paramedic service. It just is. It's more apples to apples than if you look at fire, you have to factor in little bit of other factors there. So we took Ada County Paramedic Chief's wage and we dropped it by 7%. That's how she came up with this. She dropped it by 7% and came up with my wage for fiscal 26. So, and we use that formula and we'll talk about it on Monday. That same kind of what the Sheriff's Department does is another percentage down, another percentage down for any of the command staff. So that's how that number came about, so.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, on that one, if you don't mind.
Yes.
It's almost the same rubric. It was used for the COO position for Canyon County with the COO position in Ada County because there's not a lot of us out there.
Right.
Percentage based on responsibilities, time and seat, and where that name number. So Director Danner did reach out to me.
Okay.
Sure it fit within the rubric. And then just secondarily, the compensation, as you say, program is going to be set up like a pay schedule like the Sheriff's Office. So when you see the Sheriff's Office pay schedule, it's going to be similar, maybe not exactly the same.
Right.
For the ambulance district. So you have really two rubrics of compensation.
Okay.
Not three.
Perfect.
So hopefully it looks, a little more similar for the board. Because our current comp plan is completely different from what everybody does. Because 10-year-old one from the county. And so when we drop down to line 57, so that is the what it does for the non-department head for the wages and before the benefits. And so for fiscal 26, what we did and when we went out to the for the levy, and I think, I don't know, do they have that levy page or did I not hand that out?
No, it's
We just printed off what we put out to the public just so you would know, like we're following what we said to the public. We were gonna add 7 employees and we are going to increase our wages to be competitive with others in the valley. So that's where that is reflected right there. We have added in the 7 field staff and we've added in the competitive wages comp plan. So that's why that went up 1.1 and we get clear down to the end of A, obviously with salaries and benefits and everything else, it goes up, you know, quite a bit. So that's what's reflected in there. And as we go down through A, obviously, if we adjust our comp plan significantly up like that, all those line items are going to reflect that. They're all going to end up going up. One of the big ones that went up is line 71 for overtime. I did increase that. Obviously, any overtime wage is going to go up. But we don't know what's going to happen in this fiscal year. I'm hoping we don't end up spending $600,000 because if we can keep employees and are not having to fill so much overtime, great. But who knows what it looks like with FMLA, sick, vacation, and all that. So I thought it would be safer with higher wages to increase that just to cover in case we do have that. But like I said, we're really hoping to see a difference in this fiscal year by not having to cover so many holes in the schedule and shutting down trucks. So the other one that we have not had before is line 74, incentive pay. We have quite a few people that do stuff that don't get compensated, excuse me, for it. They just do the work on duty, the projects and they work on, they get the overtime if they're doing something on overtime. But we have like the lady that's in charge of the wildland fire that we're looking at. She does all that work on duty and just like all the other paramedics. She's also, excuse me, running calls. So we just have never had incentive pay. And when I started meeting with Director Danner and started talking about different things, I'd heard about it in a board meeting. And I asked her, like, what is this incentive pay? And we just have not paid people for the extra work they do. And it's we should be paying them for the extra things that they do. So it's probably, that number's probably high. But I wanted to make sure and cover in case we found other things throughout the year. But we definitely have some ones that I can name today. We will have incentive pay. The Director Danner, when she looked at it, she was able to say, you know, I think this would be $2,500 for the year or $5,000 for the year. She was able to line up a couple of them with like canine. We have the TACMED group. Well, what does SWAT get? And so she was really helpful because we have not done that before. And so that line item is new. Simply because we haven't compensated people, so, and we should be, and they will greatly appreciate because they're already doing the work without being compensated. So
great.
That would be awesome. Page, so the second page, that's when we move into, you know, just the benefits, health insurance and FICA and all that. And so when you get clear down to line 98, that's when we actually see that about $1.9 million is what a budget goes up if we do the new comp plan, add those employees and the overtime and all those others in there, that's about what our A budget goes up. So it's about, from when we first started looking at the levy override, in my mind, that's about $200,000 more than I had in my head, just trying to think, okay, if we hired these people at the fiscal 25 wages for Ada County. So it's pretty close. It's definitely more than what I had planned, but when we get further into the documents we have, you'll see that we definitely have the funds to sustain this for years. It,
okay.
We'll be able to show you.
That's the question.
Yep. Oh, I, yeah. And you'll see, we'll be able to show you why. So,
so just a quick question. Who are we going through on our medical insurance and who's determining the choice of policies?
Our medical insurance is through AAIA. It's a trust. Nampa Fire and some of the other public agencies in the area use them. They're mainly Idaho-based.
Okay.
And so we do get a way better plan than we've ever had before. I think this is our third year with them. We've gotten a way better plan than we've ever gotten before with less spikes and increase every year because the trust as a whole balances it out.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're solely medical. We do all of ours individually in order to get the best prices, and we work with the broker to analyze that every year. So dental is separate, vision separate, and we merge them when they need to be to get a better price.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's good.
Wonder if they'd take on a county.
They would. They have talked about it, and I believe one of our benefit orientations they spoke to an HR consultant about it as well.
HR consultant where?
Here? Yes. She came to our staff meeting when we did our benefit orientation and was going to, put him in touch and stuff like that. But then something about having to work with a broker. So I think at some point there was a blockage in there, but they would take on a county.
I think it was when...
Throw that into the mix.
Yes, I definitely listened to your meetings. Oof, that's all I can say.
I'm open to anything at this point, so.
I'm really open to that.
Yeah.
That really opens.
The advantage of fire and EMS.
Yes, they do highway districts, any taxing district they do. And then, so I think right now our plan is a $1,500 deductible with a max $2,000 out of pocket.
What?
What? Is your hearing working okay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, they have a three-tier plan that you can choose from, and ours, I think, is the middle plan. So there's even one better, and then there's one that I think is more towards a $2,500 deductible.
Probably for the Affordable Care Act to comply with an affordable
package.
Okay. Yeah, send me that information.
This warrants another meeting.
No kidding.
FY27 might look a little
Yeah, I don't know what it would look like for a county, but yeah, I do remember them saying. I thought it was.
Yeah, when, they talked briefly, and I think it was when. At one point, were you guys looking at different brokers? Okay, so I think it was roughly around that time, and therefore they needed to be able to consult with the broker, and that's where, because they couldn't approach directly, I think was the deal.
Yeah.
Something
should be solved now.
Bless you.
Yeah, they're great insurance, and it's through Blue Cross, but we don't directly have to deal with Blue Cross. They're a hassle. So we get to deal with the trust directly, and they can solve all of our problems.
Yeah, it's been really well. It's been a good relationship.
And they have internal benefits as well that are outside of Blue Cross.
Yeah. Like annual services.
Yeah.
Well, you learn something every day, don't you?
Sir, I like this job.
Workshop number three might be itself.
So anyway, moving on. So down in the B budget, I had mentioned before that the board had seen it twice, but I would bring up anything that had changed from the last meeting. For building to construct, well, maybe destruction too, but construction number 120, I did add $500,000 in there. And we can talk about that later. I just have some updates that would be for executive session. So, but that one did change from last time that I did mention that we had mentioned that. The other one is training purchases, line item number 130. Actually put $100,000 in there. And this was, I know we kind of joked at the last meeting, after last meeting, Commissioner Van Beek and I, when we were talking about whether or not I get in the ambulance and intubate people and all that, and that I have to keep my certifications up. Well, I was due for a couple certifications that week, and so I went in and did that, and we have mannequins and stuff, and it was just a huge eye-opener for me of where we are severely lacking in training. We haven't invested in our training department in 5 years. And so, and I kind of knew the mannequins because I see them every once in a while. And Deputy Chief Walker, before we went out for the levy, had put together like a wish list. And I'd kind of forgot about it because, you know, the levy wasn't passing. And but then when I took the class in-house and started looking at what we had, it was just like, holy cow, I remember now why he came up with that list. So I reached out to, at the time, it was our training captain that worked with Casey's, a part-timer for us now. And I said, hey, because he taught the class, go through all this and tell me what should we be doing? What could we be doing? Wish list, all that. So he did. He went through our mannequins because our mannequins are the point where we're taping stuff onto them because things don't click together anymore. And they're having to say, well, kind of pretend that this is what it would show on the monitor. And like, we should not be at that point. I get it. We had to scrape for years, but we're at a point now where we need to be investing in training because we've got all these new employees, all these younger employees coming out of college that are brand new. They need consistent training. And so I put $100,000 in there. A mannequin is $34,000, and it would take a couple of those the first year. This would be like a five-year investment. And so I put that in there. It would be money well spent. It would be a game changer for our agency just to – it literally has been 5 years. And I mean, it's just like our ambulances breaking down. We didn't have the money to invest them, and that's where you're at. And so that's where we're at with training as well. So that one did change. I don't think any of the others from the last time we were here. I don't think any of the ones changed that I can think of. That those were the big ones, the facility and training. I think that's it on that. And I think it would coincide with what I want to talk about next, because it's part of this budget because of the levy override. So if you could pull up the paper that's Canyon County Ambulance District FY26 budget narrative. So, and I just put that in there, the verbiage up at the top that, you know, just kind of talks about, you know, we went out for the levy override. What was the levy override going to pay for? The stations being built, the ambulances, the staff being added. I did put that second paragraph that the ballot also stated, because you're going to see down below, we have quite a bit of funds because of levy override, and it was to keep moving forward with personnel, with stations, with ambulances, ongoing costs. And so if you want to, you can drop down to the blue highlights down there. So the FY 2026 revenue and expenses, that's just from our budget worksheet that we just went through and just put down here. So the expenses, the main line to look at is FY 2026 down here, down at the fund balance. So we are going to start FY 2026. We should start right around $4 million in our fund balance. After we expend everything that we expend in FY 2026 and bring in, and if we include, this would include the GMT money, we would end fiscal 2026 with $6.5 million in our fund balance. So that's after building the stations we said we were going to build, adding the staff, the comp plan. we should end FY 2026 with $6.5 million. And that is because of the levy and the TMT funds. So if you drop down to fiscal 2027, and this is just, you know, a forecast, we're looking at that ongoing. So that one would have those new 7 employees, the comp plan, and, you know, taking it up by a certain percentage because it would go up, taking the ongoing M&O up a little bit. The only major purchase that we have for now in 2027, not that it couldn't change, is our cardiac monitors need replaced. They're 10 years old. They've hit their year. Us in Ada County, the fire departments are all looking right now at needing to replace cardiac monitors. So that would be about $764,000 to replace those 15 monitors. Then if we drop down to ambulance fees, I kept it flat again for 27. We have year number 2 of the 7.9 year, $1 million levy come in. Other grants in that, that does include the GMT money again. And then we would end FY 2027 with $13.3 million in fund balance. And so I don't know if you remember, Commissioner Brooks, when we went out to, when we changed to do to a temporary levy, you had said, "How? Why are you not splitting it 7.9 split between 2 years?" This is why. Because in order to sustain, that's why we need that number. That's why we did 7.9 1 year and another 7.9. Because if we're going to add staff and build buildings and fix a comp plan, it can't just be for 2 years. We can't just do 7.9 for 2 years and just and run out of money. So this shows we're not running out of money. We can sustain a comp plan. And looking at over the next 5 years, you know, the other major purchases is, you know, are not purchased. In 2028, we would like to add more staff. We do need to remount a couple vehicles. We don't have more stations. If we're able to co-house with fire, that would save, you know, a couple $1 million. So as we're looking out, it is sustainable, because in 2027, this is when we would go back to the voters and say, you approved the supplemental levy or that temporary levy. We want you to renew it. And if they don't, it's not going to keep us from going, you know, as we keep asking, like if we fail the first time and ask again or again. It also gives us a chance, which I don't have a lot of faith in, but if the legislature would solve some of the EMS funding throughout the state, there's different things that can come and go, but we wanted to be able to make it several years, like into 2030 is what my hope was, to make it with those levy funds. So it might not have been evident to you guys because I hadn't put it together like this before, but this is why I feel confident in fixing the comp plan and adding staff, because that's where we'd still be at the end of FY 27.
Perfect. Makes sense.
Hopefully that, yeah, kind of lines that out a little bit easier to see.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you take the GMT money out, you know, that's still leaving you with $11 million, $10 million, you know, and hopefully the GMT money's come in, but if they don't, it's not like half that number is GMT money. So that's where kind of we're at with that. Any questions about any of that before we talk about it? Okay.
We'll put this in as part of the documents for the meeting. That'll be really good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So then again, if we could go into executive session then. Start with you, unless there's...
All right. I'd entertain a motion.
Chairman, I move that the board adjourns to executive session under Idaho Code 742061. Looking at C for property acquisition and D, records exempt.
A second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. What say you, Commissioner Van Beek?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Holton? Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Let's consider ourselves in executive session. Thank you.